second hour of Spingola Speaks, and this is Deanna Spingola. I'm having some trouble with my allergies today, but that's what's wrong with me. My guest today is Veronica Clark. She is the author of Werewolves of the Iron Cross, A New Look at Hitler's Armed Forces, and Black Nazis, A Study of Racial Ambivalence in Nazi Germany's Military Establishment, and Black Nazis Too, Ethnic Minorities and Foreigners in Hitler's Armed Forces, The Unbiased History. She is a translator and editor of Werewolves of the Iron Cross, The Hyenas of High Finance. Her most current book is Hitler and Himmler Uncensored. Her website is VeraIconaPublishers.org. And just to mention, one of our listeners, Lindsay, has a new website. It's called lindsaynarrates.wordpress.com, and he has narrated numerous documents, including the protocols and some other very, very important documents. So have a look there, lindsaynarrates.wordpress.com. All righty, we were talking about Hitler and about how the German people loved him. And I think that you would never see in America the kind of adoration for a leader that we see in the pictures of Hitler. I mean, people absolutely loved him.
Right. Yeah, I agree. And the thing is Stalin never, ever went out in public for fear of his people. You will only see paintings of that man amongst the people because he never actually did it.
My goodness.
That's the kind of person you got to worry about. I mean, when do our leaders really go out unless it's election time or to sell some nonsensical legislation? They don't just go visit with people just because they love them. They go simply because they have some ridiculous agenda they need to sell us.
How true. How true. Mm-hmm. And even when they're campaigning, they now have no speech zones where you really can't ask them anything. And their audiences are stacked so that they only get asked the questions that they decide they want to answer. So it's all, you know, it's all kind of a big staged event.
Yeah. I think the closest we came was with JFK.
Yes.
That's the closest this country ever came. And they killed the guy.
Yep.
I mean, because he was more genuine. So, yeah. One more thing about the British Empire thing. We should factor in the strength and the prestige of the empire at the time. I mean, did the Germans really want to take that on, threaten that? We should think about that, too. Nobody knew their power was waning at the time.
That's true. And, and including their own people. I mean, you know, they had a facade that they had to keep up, and one of the biggest things that about Germany and Britain is that the Brits, the leaders, saw Germany as competition, and that was before World War One. They always felt that they were competition, and it was because of the German character, their hard work, their entrepreneurship. I mean, they just when they do something, they do it very well. And quite frankly, the Brits didn't want to work that hard.
Yeah, so we should factor that into our assessment of Hitler and Himmler's attitude toward Britain. They really didn't want to provoke that beast.
Sure.
So, yeah, and Hitler, remember, Hitler could not get Franco on board. He couldn't really get a major commitment, a serious commitment out of Pétain either. So those are important as well. You know, do you really want to take on the British Empire when you can't get the allies you need on that side of the continent?
Certainly. All righty, we're going to take a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
Hey, meat eaters. The freeze-dried guy wants to know, does your emergency food supply meet the standards for survival? Then get the 144-day meat variety unit from the freeze-dried guy. Our meat units utilize only quality Mountain House freeze-dried cooked ground chicken and ground beef, the undisputed choice for great taste and highest nutrition. The Freeze-Dry Guy's 144-day meat variety unit includes six number 10 cans of the very best freeze-dried animal protein for power you'll need when the going gets tough. Every Meat Eater's 144-day meat variety unit comes with a free medical kit and always free shipping to the lower 48. Need more than 144 days? See our one-year-plus Meat Eater's units at freezedryguy.com. And hey, the Freeze-Dry Guy still has LRP rations, but they're going fast. Don't wait until tomorrow. Call now, 866-404-3663. That's 866-404-3663. Or go to freezedryguy.com and meet the standards for survival.
If you are a vendor dealer who sells any equipment or service that costs more than $15,000, we can help you make the sale through our low-cost lease finance programs. We are good in all 50 states, including Canada, and we have a very wide credit window. Call Bob New today at 888-639-2621 and let us explain in more detail how we can help you make more sales. Call Bob New today, 888-639-2621.
Chlorine, fluoride, pathogens, and more are in the water you drink day to day. Do you want the ability to remove and reduce those harmful things in the water you drink? You can. How? With a Berkey water filter. A complete standalone gravity filter system that requires no electricity and no plumbing. Use for emergencies or for every day. Berkey systems come in seven different sizes. Where can you get one? From GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com. With the purchase of each system, you get 50% off accessories, such as fluoride filters, water level spigot, and sport bottles. Plus, free shipping on all orders over $25. For a limited time, get 5% off all ceramic systems when you use coupon code RBN. Call GetBerkey at 855-GetBerkey. That's 855-438-2375. Or visit GetBerkey.com. That's GetBerkey.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there's only one, Pure Effect Ultra. It features advanced anti-radiation technology and is constantly rated 5 stars as the number one system for reduction of fluoride, drug and chemtrail residues, heavy metals, and more. It raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and provides virtually instant clean water on demand, all while using no electricity. Want to learn more? Visit PureEffectFilters.com. That's PureEffectFilters.com.
Veronica Clark. In 1938, Bernard Baruch said, and I quote, "We are going to lick that fellow Hitler. He isn't going to get away with it," unquote. Politicians in 1938-39 were venting about attacking Hitler's totalitarian state. However, for over 20 years, the murderous Soviets operated an actual totalitarian state, but the British and the U.S. politicians were not clamoring to eliminate Stalin and his bloody regime. In fact, they allied with him.
Mm-hmm. And Bernard Baruch didn't want Hitler to get away with what?
Because
usurping his usury?
Yes.
I mean, how ridiculous.
Because he had thrown the bankers out, and Bernard Baruch was one of those bankers, and he said, hey, we are not going to let him get away with that. So the whole thing was about the Jewish vendetta against Germany.
Right.
And it began in 1933, in the spring of 1933, so.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that's just it. Like, anyone cares about bankers. I mean, do we really have sympathy for those people? They certainly don't have our best interests in mind. They get away with, you know, the maximum amount of
murder.
Robbery they can. Yeah, and murder.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, that's your real psychopath right there, Bernard Baruch.
Yep.
So, all right, with that, I guess we can go on to, would you like to talk about managing our perception of the Reich or Hans Masekoi?
That was kind of interesting. Whatever you'd like to focus on.
Okay, let's go ahead and start with managing our perception. And this essay is on the site. And we can, you know, kind of glide into Hans Masekoi's memoirs because they relate to it.
Right.
Basically, this managing our perception of the Third Reich was my answer, is my answer to people like Ethan B. Katz. So, you know, he's welcome to read it. I'll even email it to him if he's listening, which I suspect he is secretly. I think these professors do listen. I really do. They just, the things they come out with and the timing, they're watching somebody. They're watching
sure
something and getting the information from somewhere. So basically what we have is a growing network of professional historians like Randall Bightwerk and Ethan Katz who run around on Amazon going after people like me who are supposed to be meaningless. You know, I'm just some nobody. He doesn't even bother to mention that I have a master's degree in military history. And the cute thing about Bightwerk is he goes, oh, well, she has a master's, but it's from an online school. So it's not real. Norwich is not an online school. It's a university that was established in 1815. And it specialized in military and eventually opened up to civilian. It's an excellent, excellent school. But like all schools in the United States, you must be multiculturalist, diverse, gay, lesbian, transgender kind of a thing, and you have to write a certain way. Obviously, you have to Nazi bash and say that you believe in the Holocaust exactly as it's told and whatnot, but as far as the curriculum rigor and all that, it's better than most brick and mortars, that's for sure. So he's just, you know, that's the kind of nonsense they come up with. Now, if I was a Jewish student, which there was one in my cohort who I saw there. I didn't meet him or anything, but I saw him there. He had his yarmulke and everything. Star of David necklace. Couldn't miss him. He went to Norwich. Now, if he had written a book, he would be like a champion. He would probably get a job at a community college, which one can get with a master's in history. I, on the other hand, because I write the wrong thing, I'm nothing. And I went to an online school. It's just this kind of nonsense doublespeak.
Right.
So that's kind of, you know, look at who's in charge of managing our perception. Ethan B. Katz is Jewish. Father is the U.S. ambassador to Portugal. G. Phillips, this guy's just, I don't know what he is. He's some guy over in London who decided to put his review on my book the very day it shipped to him. Now, from the United States to England, it takes a week to get to that country. So he wrote the review and posted it the day he purchased the book. So he didn't have it in his possession yet. And he did not change his review, mind you. I have all of his receipts and stuff that I've printed out and keep for records. And the last copies of Black Nazis sold for anywhere from $75 to $300. So he is incorrect when he says that Amazon was embarrassed by it and they got rid of the book and delisted it. He's lying. He invented that because
right.
he's Mr. Liberal over
now,
there
what,
in Britain.
Excuse me. Excuse me. What is his position?
Phillips?
Yeah, yes. Yes.
I don't know. I think he's just, you know, your average guy. But for some reason, he feels the need to come to all these professors' defense. And like if anyone writes a nasty review, he goes, absolutely right, and mocks it. So let's just talk about what he mocks. First of all, the thesis that makes them scream Nazi apologist. This is the section we're going over is that the Nazis did not use foreigners as cannon fodder. And Mr. Phillips goes, oh, yeah, they used the, you know, big deal. So they used a bunch of foreigners as cannon fodder. Okay. First of all, that is a very nasty and inherently racist thing to say of Mr. Phillips and other liberals like him. And I run across this all the time. Well, those Negroes, they were too stupid. They got used by the Nazis. Oh, well, those stupid Azerbaijani colored folks, and they couldn't hold their own against those superior Nazis. Oh, goodness gracious. You know, the Slavs, a bunch of dum-dums, too. That's what they're really telling you when they say that the Nazis used all these people of color and all these foreigners and ethnic minorities. They are telling you that, yes, the Nazis are superior, and yes, they used them like a bunch of dupes. So
yes,
they're affirming white supremacy when they're supposed to be undermining it. And it's like, okay, so I point that out. The Nazis did not use foreigners as cannon fodder. And Breaker McCoy writes about this. Some of the recruits of the Waffen-SS even write about this. They said, we were only put into dangerous action if it was absolutely necessary. Hitler refused Hannah Reich's offer to become suicide pilots like the Japanese. She and many other pilots were willing to do it. And she told Hitler, I will do this for you and for the war effort because I believe. And he said, I would never ask you to do something like that. He knew the situation was lost, and he wanted as many of his people spared as possible. So this idea that Hitler just wrote off the Germans is counteracted by statements like that of Hannah Reich. Okay, he wasn't supporting that, and that was documented by his Air Force adjutant, Nicholas von Bellow, in his memoirs. And then, of course, you know, Breaker McCoy, who runs quickmaneuvers.com, I believe it's called, excellent site, by the way, he writes about the cannon fodder thesis that the Waffen-SS accepted just 3,000 recruits out of 12,000 that literally flooded into the offices during the creation of the Dutch Legion. So if the Nazis were so interested in using every warm body they could, like Stalin really did, and that guy literally opened prisons, handed people a gun, and said, go forth. Why would he reject all? Why would these people be rejected? Another 400 were eliminated during the training. And you see the same thing with the Ukrainians. Only about 29,000 were accepted out of 82,000 applicants. So here we have it totally undermined. And the Lithuanians actually, you know, whined and screamed at the Germans that they didn't want to be used. At least 11,000 deserted the Germans in 1944, and they protested their deployment as Wehrmacht replacements. So the Germans didn't machine gun them like the NKVD. Instead, they made concessions that favored Lithuania. And what they ended up doing is they took the 37,000 Lithuanians who served and put them in like police positions, behind the lines, local stuff, tried to keep them in and around the areas where they lived so that they wouldn't desert and they wouldn't be, you know, feeling like, yeah, we're being used over in a theater that we have nothing to do with. That
you mean like America's doing right now?
Exactly. I mean, you know, let's think about this, people. And, you know, it's people like Phillips, you know, so they used a few dozen or here. Now, wait a minute. What about Hans Massakoi? He was an Afro-German. He literally sat out the war in relative comfort, except for the air raids, which were completely the Allies doing. He really didn't suffer at all during the war. The worst thing he had to do was clean out the inside of boilers for 3 or 4 Sundays as punishment for telling his boss off. Okay, he told his boss basically, quote unquote, go to hell. I'm not coming in Sunday. I'm going and seeing my mom like I always do. Get someone else to fix your leak, because there was a serious leak at the machine shop he worked at. And so his boss, you know, when he comes in on Monday, he goes, I have a special treat for you. And he had him doing this nasty job for 4 Sundays. Of course, Hans attributes this, you know, to racial discrimination. But really and truly, if a white German had done that, he would have gotten the same punishment.
Sure.
So we can't really attribute that to his race. But the point is, this guy was never recruited. In fact, they rejected him according to his own memoir. So if Hitler was interested in warm bodies and exterminating blacks, what better way to do it than send them all to the front? These are things that nobody asks.
Interesting. All righty, we're going to take a 3-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with the return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, the government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper. Well, that's a contract. A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept. That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
The Get Prepared Expo is coming. Practical advice, affordable solutions. Get Prepared Expo with KWTO's Vincent Finelli. Ozark Empire Fairgrounds, Springfield, Missouri. Over 125 seminars and exhibits. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. Discount $8 passes and $15 weekend passes available now at GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com. Prepare and survive right now at GetPreparedExpo.com. Mothers, fathers, grandmothers, and grandfathers all over the world are worried. World-renowned experts predict economic collapse and war. The time to prepare is now. Don't miss the Get Prepared Expo with KWTO's Vincent Finelli. Ozark Empire Fairgrounds, Springfield, Missouri. Saturday and Sunday, April 28th and 29th. The biggest and best preparedness expo in the USA. Discount $8 passes and $15 weekend passes available now at GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com. GetPreparedExpo.com.
Herbal Healer Academy's new summer specials. Our 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes on sale. Organic liquid iodine, liquid cal, Meg, vitamin D, CoQ10 with Hawthorne, colon enhancer, Super 2, natural laxative, our exceptional product, Connexin, memory power, and Super Male and Femplex. All on sale for the summer at herbalhealer.com. Also, 10% off on the HHA survival course. This is an important time to have this information. Might save your life. Nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education. herbalhealer.com. Free online newsletter. Quality natural medicine supplier since 1988. We ship the same day you place your order. Free 128-page catalog with your first order. Go to herbalhealer.com today. herbalhealer.com.
Guest today is Veronica Clark, and you were talking, well, we were talking about some very interesting things, and during the break, and when we were talking before, I thought, you know, the Jews started the NAACP to help the blacks. Evidently, they saw them as inferior and unable to function in society without assistance, and I mean, you can kind of, and they didn't have a black leader of the NAACP until probably as late as 1980, and yet they started in 1909. So it is interesting that you can see how people view others simply by the way that they interact with them.
Right. Mm-hmm. And Hitler speaks about, in the Wagner memoirs, he speaks about like the Arabs and the Africans and whatnot, and he says, because I believe that these people can enter into alliances competently.
Yes.
And so what he's telling you is, I'm not going to, like, you know, discount these people because I think they're too stupid. So
right.
Who was the real creep? It's the Allies, clearly. And here's something that never fails to just stun me. The French and the Americans supposedly believed that the Nazis were these uber racist genocidal beings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yet they had no problem sending blacks head on to confront them. What kind of people were the French and the Americans?
Right. Well, even after during the Civil War, the blacks that entered in the Union Army were given guns and things that were kind of, you know, rejects.
Right.
And put them at the front of the battle and just had absolutely no regard for their lives at all.
Exactly, yeah. And the French armed a lot of their Tirailleur Senegalese, their, you know, Senegalese soldiers, against the Germans with machetes. That's going to look good. So when the Germans come across the corpse, what does it look like? Torture, mutilation. I mean, this is the kind of insanity. What were the French thinking? I'm appalled, personally. I'm appalled. And they just act like they were so liberal and accepting of all others. And, yeah, they're more of these psychopathic liars.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's the kind of behavior that's just unbelievable. Now, getting back to Hitler's statements, what he allegedly said, Hitler's African Victims. This is a book written by Raphael Scheck. And I think people should get it because, contrary to his title, he completely exonerates Hitler. This is another nonsensical Jewish author. He writes, quote, during the 1940 campaign, a German sergeant told a French officer that Hitler had ordered the shooting of all West African POWs. Okay, Hitler allegedly told this. This rumor, which also circulated among the Tirailleur Senegalese, was false, however. The Wehrmacht had no general order pertaining to the treatment of black POWs, end quote. So there you have it. I even say that. Hitler had no African victims. He never ordered any massacre, not one. These were spur-of-the-moment reprisal massacres that did occur. The maximum number of black soldiers they've found that, you know, were allegedly massacred is 3,000. That is the highest number that Scheck says he can't even affirm. What he can affirm is 1,500. Okay, considering that over 200,000 blacks were mobilized by the French, that is not an enormous genocide. Okay, I think we can agree on that. War crime, yes. Is it genocide and extermination of blacks, et cetera, et cetera? No. And it didn't come from Hitler. These were, you know, Germans who were extremely distraught when they saw these slashed up German corpses. That didn't go over well with the SS. And some of the blacks did admit that they had tortured and mutilated some German soldiers. So they admitted in some cases that they did do it. And that's also a war crime.
Exactly.
So, you know, this is heat of the moment kind of. People are not real friendly in war. We know how this is. That's what happened.
And that happens. I mean,
right?
It's not a good thing. War is what they say. Hell, war is hell, and
exactly.
People die. And but when you deliberately go after civilians, when you deliberately bomb every big town or village in the entire country, now that is a war crime. When you actually target civilians, when you actually target buildings that are 400 years old. When you target cities because of some sort of past relationship that you're taking vengeance. Now, those are war crimes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And let me just jump to the NSDAP's protection of Africans, because this may, in fact, be what happened with Hans Massakoi, because his father was his grandfather was a Liberian king who was stripped of his crown for alleged embezzlement and involvement in slave trading, basically, after the country had declared its independence and said it was no longer a slave state. And then his father, of course, was also from Liberia. So we'll finish that up on the other side.
All righty. Okay, we'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your two-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Hey, John.
What do you need, Steve?
Can you spare any diesel fuel?
Maybe. What do you have to offer?
How about this $5 gold piece?
What the heck am I supposed to do with that?
Come on, man. I'm your neighbor.
What else you got?
Well, I've got some heirloom squash seed.
Any zucchini? Dark green?
Yes, of course. I've got a Texas Ready Liberty seed bank.
How much diesel fuel did you say you need?
I could really use a gallon.
Yes, folks, it's not called seed money for nothing. At Texas Ready, we've thought of the big stuff and the little stuff, so you can think of the other stuff. We've got you covered from beans to barter. Order today at TexasReady.net or call 832-493-1357. That's 832-493-1357. TexasReady.net. Are you Texas Ready?
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Today is Veronica Clark, and you were talking about the Liberian father of Hans J. Massaquoi.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so because his father was Liberian, he may have fallen under this circular of protection that was issued by none other than Adolf Hitler and Martin Bormann. So here we have the actual text of it. Now, I had mentioned this circular in a couple of my books, but I didn't actually have the text of it. I found the text of it in Black Victims of the Nazis, which, you know, again, is another book that incidentally exonerates the Nazis. And it's hard to get, but it's very good because it republishes a lot of these letters. And this is Confidential Circular Number 55/36, issued in March 1936 to all district leaders, which would be the Gauleiters. And basically what it says is we have these 15 Negroes and their families from previous German colonies that are living in Germany. Most of them were soldiers fighting on Germany's behalf, but not all of them. Most of them have no constant work, and in the event that they do find work, their employer is subjected to hate campaigns and is forced to sack the Negroes again. Now, this is interesting because most historians do not acknowledge that the public might have been anti-black and discriminated, and not the party, that it was the inverse. And I point this out in A New Look at Hitler's Armed Forces in the introduction. Now, the circular says, I must point out that the Negroes must have a possibility to earn a living, especially as most of them still have contact with their home country and will report about their circumstances in Germany. So let me pause here. If the Germans did not care what Africans thought about them, then why did they take this precaution, make sure that these people had work, that they were treated fairly and not discriminated against, so that they could say nice things about Germany back home? I mean,
and doesn't that say something about their concern about what anybody would say about any of the citizens in Germany that were foreigners?
Exactly. I mean, if we don't care and we're going to go massacre blacks, and Hitler had this genocidal agenda, you know, they call this the Black Holocaust, then why would they care? Did Stalin care about what people? No. So, you know, this is common sense that these historians just don't consider. In coordination with the foreign minister, it is important to select which Negroes should receive special protection and a work permit. However, it still will take some time before all the necessary documentation has been issued. This information is confidential and should not be passed on as general knowledge, as some party members will not accept and understand the reasons for the support of the Negroes. So here we have clear indication that there are schisms in the party. Obviously, Hitler wants to be tolerant, pursue good interracial relations with most people. He even had a tolerance towards some mixed-race Germans. Hitler was not going to go after like a half-Chinese, half-German child and what have you. That's why I do not believe that the sterilization of the Rhineland children was on his order. I think the Gestapo took it upon themselves to do that. And there is no order that can be attributed to Hitler about that. So, again, this is more evidence in favor of that. And as a matter of fact, in 1932, right before Hitler gets in there, the government called for the protection of the Rhineland children because they felt that it would be an insult to motherhood and the mothers if they went after these kids and said, yeah, these children have to be sterilized, etc. So, you know, we're not thinking about this either. So basically they wanted to keep this private to keep other party leaders from raising their nasty voices against it, for right. lack of a better way of putting it. And you see this repeated in the case of the Lusatian Sorbs, who are a Slavic minority in Germany. There are many, very few of them today. There were more, obviously, under the Third Reich. But these people received protection from Hitler. Hitler said, I want them protected. Don't relocate the teachers to inside of Germany. Leave them where they're at. We'll deal with that after the war. What Hitler's intent would have been for them after the war is up in the air, but I seriously doubt Hitler would have dismantled them completely as kind of their own little unique culture. The biggest concern for him and other Germans was, if we start having all these minority groups screaming for their breakaway rights and separatism, what happens to the nation that he just united? And if Slavic Germans don't feel that they're really German, then we have a problem, don't we? You know, they're not true Germans and they don't feel German. So that was really the issue Hitler and, you know, the NSDAP had with the Sorbs.
Right.
So
now you're not promoting multiculturalism. You're simply stating exactly what was going on.
Exactly.
And, this is what was going on.
Correct. Right. And, you know, even the, the prosecutor at Nuremberg, one of them remarked in 1947, quote, the seemingly insurmountable theoretical barrier of race was avoided very neatly, end quote. So, okay, I'm quoting directly from an IMT prosecutor that he sees this in the German documentation. Okay, they said they were these, you know, racial kind of fanatics, et cetera, et cetera. And I've been told that, but apparently they fudged some corners all the time. And this was strictly in reference to the Sorbs. Now, interestingly, they voted for the NSDAP in higher percentages than even ethnic Germans did. So were all Slavs as opposed to the NSDAP, as they say? No, they were not. And that's interesting. And, you know, this is all in this essay. I give you all the percentages, et cetera. And there's even a PDF on this that I can send. But, you know, the biggest thing was the NSDAP was interested in Germanization, which is basically another word for acculturation and assimilation. Any minorities had to be acculturated and assimilated just like they do in America today. Now, diversity and multiculturalism is breaking that down. We no longer have Americanization here. What we promote is you're your own thing. You're your own culture. Break this America apart. We're telling people that while simultaneously trying to have American nationalism. It doesn't work, and we're going to learn that very quickly.
Right.
But it's just assimilation. That's all it is. Germanization is assimilation. And that's what the Germans were interested in. That's what the NSDAP was interested in, not exterminating people and all this nonsense. Now, one more thing. Hans-Jürgen Witsch, and this article is so good. It was put out by the IHR, and it was originally featured on The Revisionist, that almost 8 million foreign workers, volunteers, were flooding into Germany to work. Some of them were illegals. So Hitler had an illegal immigration problem, especially from the East. So are we really believing that the Germans had a slave labor force of 7 million people? Didn't happen. Didn't happen. The idea that historians can even entertain that, that you have 7 million people that could potentially have a mass uprising, slaves in your country, and they didn't do anything? Anyway, it's excellent. And so this, again, these were considered like Arbeitssoldaten, worker soldiers. So we can certainly count them amongst those who volunteered to help Hitler's war effort. We're talking about nearly 8 million people. This is huge. And the NSDAP treated them extremely well. They gave them social security, health care, let them send most, if or sometimes all, of their wages back home to their families in Eastern Europe. And here's something interesting. These foreigners, and Hans Mosokoi mentions Polish and one half Russian, and also Italians who were working at his workplace. So he verifies this with his own memoir. They volunteered during air raids, and they remained at their workplaces after the surrender to protect their employers from harassment and lootings. Are we really going to believe that slaves stayed at their station and helped volunteer when they could have fled for their lives?
Right. Now, why would they why would they have volunteered to join in the Reich, to be a foreign worker? Why would they do that?
Because working conditions, pay, healthcare, social security was so generous. They could never ever match it in their home countries. And they literally sneak in with, you know, vacationers and whatnot, you know, workers on vacation, family members. And the Germans said, we can't have you bringing your 15 friends with you when you come back from vacation. You know, that was the illegal immigration problem.
Right. And Germany allowed this because they needed workers, correct?
Exactly. Yes, they were desperate for, they had labor shortage big time. And what they were doing is, instead of using foreigners as conscriptees and using them as cannon fodder, they were putting them as the workers and sending ethnic Germans, their own countrymen, to the front. So here we have, once again, those evil, evil Nazis.
Wow.
Using all these other people, that didn't happen, and their wages were extremely good. Sometimes they were paid more than Germans.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And this is all documented evidence that that came out during the Nuremberg trials.
Correct. And the thing is, as Witsch mentions, that this stuff was destined for the trash can. He said, thank God, some officials with a brain and a conscience looked at this paperwork and went, wait a minute, these are SS testimonials and NSDAP official testimonials talking about the supposed slave labor. We're not throwing this in the shredder. They were going to shred it. So we wouldn't even know this if it hadn't been for just a couple individuals making the right decision.
Interesting. I was reading a bunch of things about the Nuremberg trials today, and we really don't understand exactly how many there were. I mean, there were the first series where they actually went after the top members of the NSDAP, and then there were another series of trials where they went after doctors, and they went after anybody that you could imagine. And this whole idea of a tribunal basically started after World War I, when a lot of the Jews in this country wanted to have some sort of tribunal then, and they were not successful at getting one together. And so after World War II, they got what they wanted.
Right. Yep. And this is in spite of the fact, or despite the fact, that the United States had been sterilizing people since before World War II, during World War II, and all the way into the late 1960s. This is only coming out now in Guatemala and in, what was the other state?
I know they were doing
North Carolina? Yes, North Carolina.
All over the country. They were doing that even in California.
Yeah. We're screaming about Nazi sterilization, euthanasia of the unfit in the T4 program, which was shut down because of popular outcry. Of course, the Allies skirted around this at their Nuremberg show trial by going, oh, well, they did it secretly. No, they didn't, because you do not have a single shred of evidence to prove that, other than eyewitness testimony. And we know how reliable that is. I mean, reading some of these memoirs, they are ludicrous. Just ludicrous. Just pick up a copy, and it's insane, because this book has like 50 rave reviews. It is a work of fiction. Philip Mueller, 3 years in the gas chambers. He claims he was in the gas chamber, inside of it. And the SS man goes, what are you doing in there, fool? You're not to be gassed yet. Jerks him out. You're a Sonderkommando. We're going to gas you later, fool. I mean, what? Just insane stuff like that.
But
ludicrous,
itself.
Disgusting, vulgar memoir.
Yeah.
So, and this is a theme.
Yes, and as you say, eyewitness testimony is the least reliable kind of evidence, because anybody can make up anything. I mean,
sure.
You know, and we hear things, for instance, if you happen to be a Jewish individual and you have a friend that heard something and that person heard something, then all of a sudden it becomes your eyewitness testimony, your story. And so people actually repeat the official version as if they owned it themselves and as if their family was involved. And certainly there are, you know, a lot of people make a lot of money doing that.
Right.
And just Elie Wiesel. Right.
Mm-hmm. And some of them will say, yeah, I lost 75 relatives in the Holocaust. Who even knows 75 of their relatives? I mean, come on.
Exactly.
Just apply common sense to it. You know, exactly. And you have to be careful with memoirs, too. I recommend people read what they can on the internet, just, you know, from a legitimate source, of course. You don't have to go to about.com or anything, but you can get this on any university site that just has an open page. False memory syndrome, the power of introducing memories by lead-in questions and very skilled interrogators. Just watch the video on PBS, The Confessions. And I've mentioned this a long while ago. These men confess in detail to the rape of this Blasco woman. It was in like North Carolina or something like that. These four Navy guys. And none of them did it. They were all innocent. They totally invented the whole thing simply because the interrogator was so good. So there you have it. You got these criminals who confessed. You have the confession. You have the affidavit. You have it all. and not one of them did a thing.
Right. And of course, then you have some interrogators that torture in order to...
Exactly. Exactly. Okay. And now we know that the Iraq war is all based on the CIA's threat to that one Iraqi man who's living in basically fear in Germany and who finally came clean and said, the CIA asked me, do you ever want to see your family again? Tell us what we want to hear about Saddam Hussein. Did he have rape rooms? Did he have torture chambers? Did his sons drive down the freeway and shoot people for fun? Yes, yes, yes. Okay, we got our case. That's what happened.
Wow. It's insane. Same old tactics.
Exactly. It never stops, and Iran is next.
Wow. All righty, we're going Hopefully to not. Our three-minute break. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
If you're the mother of a child with behavior problems, I'd like to talk to you. My name is Janet Lehman. I'm a behavioral therapist and a mom. I know what it's like when the child you love becomes a defiant, out-of-control child who disrespects you. That's why my husband James and I created the Total Transformation, the program that tens of thousands of moms are now using to turn around their child's behavior. If you've heard about the Total Transformation and wondered if it will work for you, now you can try it for free. I'm willing to give away 1,000 programs today for free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free. I know the Total Transformation works because I used these techniques with my own son and with troubled kids for over 30 years. Let me prove to you that it works by giving you the program for free.
Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Our guest today has been Veronica Clark, and she is the author of several books. Her website is VeraIconaPublishers.org. And, you know, you mentioned slaves and the use of slave labor, allegedly. And during the time of the Nuremberg trials, France and Britain were, in fact, using a lot of Germans as slaves. Where the government itself was making the money and the Germans were working for nothing. They didn't, you know, they were just, they were actually slaves, and they were rebuilding France and Britain while the government was collecting money from the corporations that hired them.
Mm-hmm. And even in the camps, the Germans paid the internees in scrip, and they punched in and out on time cards created by made by IBM and installed by IBM.
Right.
And that's where IBM and the Holocaust comes in. No, no, no. You do not have people intended for death clocking in and out fully identified.
Or with tattoos.
That is totally senseless. You don't document your genocide, for goodness sake. You just have people disappear in a gulag.
Right.
You don't even have marked graves. So, yeah. As far as Hans Mosokoi, people should really get destined to witness, because in spite of the reviews and the fact that, you know, he attributes... He really kind of whines about his years in Nazi Germany, when really and truly they weren't that bad. But what you find is that a lot of Nazis helped this kid. And, for example, his blocklighter, Mr. Morell, befriended him. This guy was a Nazi, NSDAP member. Hans spent time at their house. He befriended their son. And he took him. He invited Hans to go see Jesse Owens at the Olympics. And what kind of horrible NSDAP member was this?
Right.
The SS man who gives him his job treats him with complete respect.
Right.
You know.
And the fact you mentioned Jesse Owens, and that was, excuse me, in the 1936 games.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right year?
Yes.
And
yep.
And look what was going on in our country.
Right. Right. And Hitler did not have to allow Africans to compete.
Yes.
He did not have to approve that. That was up in the air.
Right. And I'm not sure when they allowed Africans to play baseball. I don't know what the date is. I'm not a sportsman.
Right. I don't remember that exactly either. But, yeah, interestingly enough, Avery Brundage destroyed Jesse Owens' career. White
really?
American, his manager. Yep. It's in. It's by Z. Naya Reynolds. And it's called Black Victims of the Nazis. The full account is in there. He made sure he was ruined. And that man had this vicious little personal vendetta against him because he didn't do one thing that was asked that wasn't part of his contract or something like that. But again, white Americans, you know, you don't question. Back then, you don't question me, Mr. Owens. You're black. I'm white. I'm in control. And that's the attitude we had. And Hans Mosokoi verifies this.
Certainly.
So, you know.
Wow. All righty. Well, we have run out of time. So
unfortunately.
Well, you're coming back in a couple of weeks, and we look forward to that. And thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for having me.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, listeners. Have a great weekend. Bye.